Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So today we're going to talk more about your final exam options. On Monday, we kind of got an overview and heard David present some information about the option to do the programming option for doing a Python program, basically redoing TACLAB that way. So let me recap that briefly, and then we'll talk about the other options you have available. So let's see here. So again, so we have these four things of which you will choose two, one of the first two and one of the second two. So we heard about solving TACLAB with PwnTool. So since then we have added everything to AutoLab for this. So you have a PDF write-up that describes what to do, and you have a handout tar file that contains a template, a starting point. So you just have to edit that kind of basically convert your solutions to the phases of TACLAB to this form and use some of these pretty nice tools. And then you can either do that, or you can also choose to do a written submission in English text, and I will tell you a little bit more about that now. And then the rest of the class today, we will present your other two options. And these things are all getting added to AutoLab as we speak. And we will present you a little bit about CacheLab, which is the programming option for the second half here, and also the written option. What are your questions about this so far before I go into more of the stuff we haven't talked about yet?
The videos will be uploaded.
I didn't hear the question. Can you repeat that, please?
Will the videos be uploaded on AutoLab, or will they be like
the video of Monday's class and today's class?
No, for the review. A review of the security topics and the
Okay, the written things. Yes. So those should both be up there. Let's take a look. So let's take a look at this. I'll look at it with you. So my screen's a little different because I get to install things in AutoLab, but otherwise you should see something like this. So you should see these four. So if you go to TACLAB phone tools. This has both this right up here, which is similar to what we've done for other assignments. It tells you like a grading scale and things like that. And then this download handout, this has a tar file you don't see the pop-up because my screen sharing is being funny. But you know what it looks like when you download a tar file. So that's that one. So the written option, review of research on security topics. This is, of course, it's not auto-graded, but you submit a PDF file here, and I'll show you if you go to view write-up. This has the full description here. So written review of research talks, and as it says, you'll either do the PwnTools part, or you'll do the writing part below here. So so let's take a quick look at this. We have chosen some talks that we think are good and also related to things we've done this semester. So the requirement here is you choose at least two of these. There are five. You will watch them and make notes and watch them closely and then write a review and a response. You are also allowed, if you would like to throw in something in addition to something off of this list, you have to choose at least two of this list, but you may choose something else related if you want to refer to that. But 2 to 3 pages of text. So we have a list of things for you to accomplish. First of all, everyone will do this, summarize speakers' topics and main points. And then three additional things off of this list here. So for a total of like four things you will accomplish in this written review. And of course, this is up to a total of 40 points. So it's roughly 10 points each. We'll be reading and scoring these. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Did I count that right? Choose three of these. And then of course, everyone does this first thing, summarize topics. So, you know, things about what do you think most interesting things are, how does it relate to things you've done in the course, strengths and weaknesses of this, you know, would you recommend it? What additional information did you look up to, you know, learn the stuff? What are kind of questions you have about it? These are all pretty, pretty good kind of thought questions for you. And again, that's for these five talks. Now, you notice when you go to the PDF file, each of these things are links. So if you click on them, it will take you to, and they actually all go to videos on the YouTube website. So, and these are in roughly chronological order. So let's see, click on this one. This one's, this is the older one. The video resolution is not quite as good, but it kind of goes further into kind of the history of stack smashing attacks. And then, these are both talks from James Mickens at MIT. Again, kind of building stuff we talked about in the security field. So you can watch these, and we've also provided links here. You know, there's either papers or notes that go with these that might make it a little easier for you to you know, keep track of what they talked about. And so roughly in chronological order, this one is the most recent one. So it's the highest resolution video. As you see, these are often 45 minutes, an hour long, something like that. So they're very good talks. I hope that you enjoy them and can, you know, follow them well, because I think it's the sort of thing that prior to taking this course, maybe you wouldn't have gotten as much out of these. So that's the hope. And we have a little bit of info on just like how to cite them in your paper. Of course, we need to know which ones you're referring to, but also anything else that you reference in here. These are examples from the ACM on how we do that. You're probably going to mostly look at these examples of videos. So just use a citation like this. And the other thing you need to know is that we need this as a PDF file. That is all Autolab understands. So I do believe that most modern systems make it pretty easy to generate a PDF file from whatever software you're using to write up a document. Is that something you guys are comfortable with?
Yep.
Great, great. So, you know, let us know if there's any issues with that. But yes, Autolab will accept your PDF file and will let us view it and grade it nicely. So that is the written option. So, you know, we're kind of calling this the security portion, which is either Pwn Tools Attack Lab or this. And so either of those would be due Wednesday, May 6th, a week from today, the usual 11:59 p.m. time. What else are y'all wondering about? Okay, so again, PDF file can get submitted here in Autolab. So again, you're choosing one of the first two, either programming or writing. For the second two, we again have a choice of a programming option or a writing option. Well, let me take a moment to address this question to many of you, just because we've gotten a lot of questions about this with Autolab. So Attack Lab, here's the thing about Attack Lab. Let's see, I didn't submit anything here, but, so when you submit your text file for Attack Lab, all that's doing is letting us grade the comments. So Autolab is not grading the text file that you submitted. The score on the scoreboard is linked to, the phases you've solved. So whatever score you see here on the scoreboard, we have logged for you as a score. The things that you submitted have no connection to that score, other than the fact that we're going to go and evaluate your comments and deduct points if the comments are not valid or are not there. But there's not like a one-to-one relationship with, like, if you submitted 10 files to Autolab, you're not going to have 10 scores here. You really only have one score, which is what the number of phases you solved was. So we've had, I think, at least as many questions about this as there are students in the course. So I'm kind of, and the reason for it is very complicated and has to do with how AttackLab works, which is not really, which we've had a whole setup before we even had Autolab. I'm debating whether or not, like, maybe we should just turn off, like, if Autolab showed no scores at all, maybe we wouldn't have as many questions about it. But fear not, we have a record of how many things how many phases you solved in AttackLab, and we have your submissions with comments. So that's all we need. It will take some time for, you know, a human review of these things and to finalize your score. Recall that there was a day when you had to wait for people to grade your work. You didn't have an instant score. So, that might be, the way it works here. And incidentally, it will work that way with these written responses, because Autolab will not give you an immediate score on that either. So, just so you're not worried, but I don't think anyone has, none of the AttackLab stuff has been lost, even if it's taken us time to process. And really, we've been prioritizing getting this next stuff to you now, so you have time to work on it rather than dumping it on you next week. So I think you'd prefer that than having us spend this week really doing all your grading of your old stuff and making you rush this stuff next week. Okay, that's the side note about AttackLab. So second two choices here. Okay, so CacheLab, this involves submitting C code, and Saroj is gonna tell you guys more about how to do this coming up. They'll be right up here. It's not ready yet. Finalizing that, there'll be a handout here. Again, it's a tar file. It'll be up later today. This is due May the 7th, which is next Thursday. So we're staggering it a little bit. So, the idea is that these first two, you'll do one of these first. I don't think any of you is finished with these, although based on questions as help hours, we're glad to see some folks are starting with the PwnTools thing. So the second half, CacheLab stuff coming out today. Saroj will tell you about it shortly. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the written option. So again, this is sort of writing. These are sort of conceptually similar. These are both about security stuff. So these two are about, we're kind of generally calling it system stuff, which is to say, a lot of the different things we've dealt with processes, with caches, things like that. So we're going to go to view write up here, written review of research on systems topics. So looks similar to the last one. However, we have a different list here of five talks, and so these are the choices. And again, we have a similar set of rules as far as expecting 2 to 3 page response. You can add additional references if you choose. We have ACM citation format. We expect a PDF file, and we have you'll be scored based on your responses to these questions. Have to do the summary, and then at least 3 of the rest. These talks are on kind of non-security stuff, but related to things we saw in Shell Lab and cache related stuff. So again, all of these things are links to videos. They're not all to YouTube in this case. So these go to the Systems We Love website, which I'll just mention, it looks tiny, right? But if you full screen it here, it actually looks pretty good. So the Systems We Love talks, this one kind of touches on a lot of different stuff in that we've talked about in this course and that you go up into in your operating systems course. This one I actually referenced in class a few weeks ago about processes and context switching and in old versions of Unix that carries on till today. This one, Promise and Pitfalls of Persistent Memory, will be interesting to those of you who were you know, interested in when we were talking about memory hierarchy, about performance of memory and disks and caches. And I know some of y'all are interested in computer hardware, have, you know, a lot of thoughts about that. Well, this is about, you know, if you remember that hierarchy, that pyramid, some newer developments in persistent memory that we didn't talk about because it's new and still coming out. And so this is a good talk about kind of the future and how, you know, changes in hardware are going to change what we know about performance. This one's all about compilers, which of course you've heard us talk about all semester. And it's pretty good. And then the most recent one, no more left to give. That's not a typographical error, but a reference to Moore's law. And usually we end the semester of systems talking about this kind of future look at where computing is going. This is probably I would call it a better version of how we usually like to end the course. And just the thing I'll point out about this website that it's on is that you get the speaker on the left here and you hit play, but the slides are actually shown over here. So if you like full screen the speaker, then you're actually just going to see the video of the guy on the stage, and you may just actually want to keep it over here. And then, like, I think as you know, this thing over here advances the slides with the video. And there's actually a transcript of the whole thing down here. Although it's definitely better to watch the speaker and listen, just because there's a you know, dynamic speaker. So those are the five choices there, and the questions for you to answer. So let me know what you think. Looking forward to really hopefully getting a, you know, variety of submissions from you all. You know, would love to see some code in Python and C, and would also love to see some written responses, and hope that there's a, you know, variety of different videos and responses chosen. Again, we think these are all good talks and thought-provoking and interesting, and that your experience this semester will inform you to make you get a lot out of them also. So again, that's our second half here. And so the last thing I have to talk about is CacheLab. So Saroj, are you ready to tell them a bit about CacheLab?
Yep.
Okay. So Saroj is gonna tell you a bit about blocking, which is a important technique for doing this. So CacheLab, later today, we'll have a handout here, which is a tar file. It'll look like some of our previous labs, in which you'll get, you know, a C file and a make file and a thing that runs and tells you how well it's working, called driver. And one of the C files is going to be mostly empty, and you have to add code to it. So, and we'll have a write up to go with that. But the thing we're here to talk about today is blocking, which is like, okay, if you have some code, and we know exactly it's going to involve a matrix, you know, which is sort of like the array copy thing we looked at a long time ago, but a matrix of ints, and you have to transform it. And doing that, you know, having code that does that correctly is very simple. It's just a few for loops, and we'll even give that to you, but you have to rewrite it to make it run faster, which requires understanding caches. So we're just going to tell you about blocking, which is this technique that lets you make code faster because of what we know about caches. So, Saroj, take it away, please.
Gotcha. Let me share my screen. Okay, so we're going to talk about CacheLab right now. So in this lab, you're going to write matrix transpose, as Matt just mentioned, but you're going to write it in a cache-friendly way. So what do we mean when we say cache-friendly code? We want our memory access to be closed if we recently accessed them, or if they are really close to each other in space. And we want to write our code in such a way that we avoid as many cache misses as we can. So we are trying to get as many gas heat as we can in this program. Again, we are doing matrix transpose. And if anybody doesn't know that, when you do matrix transpose, the row goes to the column for every single matrix, right? So how do we optimize our this operation using gas? Let's see an example before we start. So if say we have our block size of 8 bytes, so we can have 2 integer in there. So this is gonna be our block size. So when we read 1, we are gonna get a gas miss because we haven't read anything at all, right? So our first element is gonna miss always. When you write it to the matrix B over here, it's still gonna miss because we haven't referenced anything. We still have an empty gas. So we got our first miss over here. But the next time you go to read this matrix, 0, 1, we'll get a gas hit because we already have this block inside gas, right? But when you go to write 2, it's gonna go to the second column and we haven't read this block, so it's gonna be a gas miss again. So what should we like read next when we do the matrix transfer? Should it go to the row or should it go to 5, 6? Okay, I don't have much answer. So if we handle 3 and 4 over here, for 3, we're going to get a gas miss because this is 8 byte. We already finished with this block. So when we read, we get a new block of 3 and 4. So 3, we're going to get a gas miss when we read. For 4, we're going to get a gas hit when we read because we already have 3 inside there and this whole block going to get read when we get 3. But when you go to write, 3 goes over here, 4 goes over here. So we're gonna get a gas miss for both writing operation. So in total, we'll have 5 gas misses and 3 gas misses and 1 gas hit, right? But what about 5 and 6? So 5 and 6, we're still gonna get the same operation for our read operations. So we're gonna get 5 as hit, 6 as miss, but 5 and 6 goes over here in the column matrix, right? So our 5 would be over here, 6 would be over here. But we already have this matrix, these blocks in our cache memory. So when you write them, we will have cache hit on both of these. That makes sense.
Okay. So 5 and 6 are actually the better choice here.
Oh yeah, 5 and 6 are better choices because we're gonna get 5 and 6 as right. So we'd have 3 hit and 1 miss. Yeah. The miss gonna be 5 when you read it.
The naive approach, you know, might just be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but in fact, doing it in different order gives us better cache performance. So that's how we look at this. Cool.
Okay, if nobody got question, we got to move to blocking that math mentioned. So what is blocking? In blocking, we divide a matrix into sub-matrices, you know, small matrix, so that those matrix can fit inside the cache memory. This will help us take advantage of the locality factor, right? We don't have a magic number for the sub-matrices, so you're going to have to try different number depending on the cache block, cache size, and input matrix. So when you do a program, you're going to have to try different numbers. We don't have any numbers that would give up this answer really easy. Let's have an example. Here's a simple code for matrix multiplication. Go through a for loop, add every numbers. So when you have a matrix multiplication, whatever the number we get, we multiply the whole row with the whole column and then just add it. So every number goes to be every number, say A00 over here, we go to B00 over here, add those, multiply those and add the rest of the number. So this is a naive way to do the matrix multiplication. You might have seen it before. All right. So let's do gas miss analysis on this. Gas analysis, not gas miss. So let's assume that all the matrix limits are double in here. And we have the gas block size of 8 doubles. Our gas size is gonna be really, really smaller than the size of the matrix, right? So when we read our first element over here, we're gonna get gas miss because we don't have anything on the gas, right? But for the next 7 elements in this matrix, we're gonna get a gas hit because we have a gas block size of 8. So for every 8 element, we'll have a new gas miss. So in total, we're gonna have n over 8 misses. Right, that makes sense. In the column matrix, so for every element, we're going to have a gas miss because we're going to store our gas in this order, right? in the router. So for every new column, we're going to have a cast miss. So in total, we're going to have your misses for this matrix. So when you're done with this operation, you're going to have 9n/8 misses for the whole operation for the first elements, right? So when you're done with this, in your cache, you'll have the last block of put the matrices in your cache memory. That makes sense. Okay. Let's see our second iteration. We have second iteration, meaning the second second element, we're still going to have like the same cases. We're still going to have n/8 misses for the row and n misses for the column, and still going to have 9n/8 misses in total for that element. Since we have n² of elements, we're going to have 9/8 n³ element, n³ misses. So this is for our naive approach. Our total number of misses is going to be 9/8 n³. But let's say we have blocking, and our blocking code is over here. We have a B/B size of submatrix right over here. Still the same thing, it's one element at a time. We're going to take care of a block at a time. Like, we are still going to assume the same thing. We have cache block size of 8 doubles. Our cache size is much smaller than our matrix size, and 3 blocks can fit in the cache memory, right? So for the first block, let's see how we got B²/8 misses. So we have B² element in each block, right? B/B matrix. And for every 8 elements, we're going to have a miss. So for every, because of that, we're going to have like B²/8 misses, right? And we're going to have 2n/B over here because we have 2 matrix, and every matrix has n/B blocks. Right. So for the first iteration, we can have n/B/4 misses from over here. And when we're done with this, we can have these 3 blocks in our cache memory. Okay. It's still going to be the same thing for second iteration. We're going to have the same number of misses. So when we're done, we're going to have n³/4 divided by 4B number of misses. So if you compare this with the naive approach, depending on your block size, you can have a much better performance than the naive approach. Our naive approach has 9/8 n³. We have n³, 9/8 n³ multiplied by n³. Yeah. This is n³/4 divided by 4b. Like, this is what you're going to be doing on CashLab. Let's talk about some programming rules that might be different than what we have been doing. So in CellLab, you could have errors for, you could have warnings, not errors, for your lab, and you still receive points. But for this lab, you can't have any warnings in your code. Also, your transpose function should not use recursion. It should be for loop. You can only declare 12 local variables of type int, and you can't use any malloc function or its variants. There are like many programming rules, so please make sure you read the write-up. And if you need more details, there is a section on the book, chapter 6, section 5, writing cache-friendly code. So make sure you follow that. And that's all. So if anybody got a question, I can answer that, or I can try to.
All right, thank you. We will have the write-up posted today, and you all get to look that over and discuss with me and Saroj when you have questions on that. This is an interesting programming challenge that you probably haven't had to address before. Keep in mind that our example with the matrix multiplication is somewhat complicated. Matrix multiply on big matrices is actually involves a ton of operations. So the good news is that that's not the problem we're giving you here. We're giving you the matrix transpose problem, which is simply turning rows into columns. So it's simpler than matrix multiply, still has big performance changes if you use blocking. And remember that blocking is using those sub matrices. So imagine you have, something large, 64x64, instead of going across all the way 64 across before going to the next row, you would take, you know, go do eight and then eight and eight and do a little block and then another block and move through. So it's very much a divide and conquer type of algorithm, which is, you know, a common pattern we've seen. Some of you all are in algorithms class, right? I think so. I think I heard some of y'all are in algorithms class. Have you heard of this sort of divide and conquer algorithm before? I think you have.
Yes, yes. That's almost all we talk about, like the second half.
In the algorithms course?
Yes, yes.
Cool, okay. Do you talk about matrix transpose or matrix multiply?
Yes, I think we went over matrix recently. I have to check again, but yeah, we did touch matrix.
Interesting. Cool. Well, that's cool. You've heard some of the ideas. Of course, you know, in order to really measure the performance, you know, in a specific case, you have to know something about caches, which is more of a systems, you know, hardware topic. And again, this will be in the Cache Lab write-up. The thing to keep in mind is that we're going to have a very specific, you know, simulated cache of a certain size, and it will be a direct mapped cache. So you will have to keep in mind cache conflicts. We'll provide you with a cache simulator that will measure. Basically, you'll run a matrix transpose function, and then it will tell you how many cache misses. And then you'll change your code, and hopefully your cache misses will go down. So that is the basic challenge, and we'll have that up on Autolab later today. If you choose to do that, you'll have until Thursday of next week. Again, we are staggering these a little bit. And if not, you can also choose to do the written option, which again, I'll remind you, looks like this. So Cache Lab or written stuff on systems, which includes talk about caching and memory systems and all kinds of other stuff. So I think that gives us, again, the, you know, one of these two is going to give you up to 40 points. One of these two is going to give you up to 40 points. The last 20 points will be administered next week during our exam time, and they will be questions, and they will be specifically dealing with Shell Lab. So, you know, we're talking about Attack Lab and security stuff in this section. We're talking about caching and performance and memory systems in which of the, what you choose from the second half. So the other big topic that leaves is Shell Lab. And so you will answer questions about that that are going to be very much related to the comments and explanations that you made during Shell Lab. So the thing that you will look at to prepare for that will be your own Shell Lab code, which is hopefully good and well commented. So we'll tell you more about that you know, on Friday and Monday's classes, which of course are our last two meetings for the semester. And then on Friday the 8th, we will ask you those questions via Autolab. So, but you have a lot to do before then, one of these two and one of these two. So that is, that's what we have for you. We have some time left today, so this would be a great time. Of course, please ask us more questions. Otherwise, you can start looking at either the, you know, the videos that we've linked to in those writing assignments, see if they're interesting to you, see which ones you may want to watch, or if you wanted, if that's something you want to do at all. The Pwn Tools Attack Lab is totally ready for you. We have the tar and the PDF files ready for you. In fact, I'll show once again. So if you, you know, this was up yesterday, but we made some updates last night. So if you did download handout yesterday, you would have gotten the tar file. And, you know, I can probably actually show that a little better. We've made some updates, mostly just to, with explanations of things, like the comments are updated. If you downloaded it earlier yesterday, I mean, you'll be fine. You can work with that. But we've made some updates just to explain a few things. So you can download it again. But if you don't download it again, it's not going to be a huge problem. We just thought it'd be nice for you to have some clarifications. Let me show you. I'm going to log in.
Matt, do you mind if I say something about the Attack Lab real quick?
Please go ahead. Thank you, David.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we are also looking for comments on your Common Tools submission as well. I'm not sure that that's mentioned explicitly.
Yeah, for sure. In the, for sure. I think it's in the write-up. If it's not, I'll put it there. And the same thing is true with Cache Lab and with any code you submit in this class. We are looking for how well you explain it in your comments. In the case of both of the programming options here, the amount of code written is actually quite short. So it's really not about how much code you're producing, but about how well you can explain it. And both the Python and the C version. So let me show y'all. You guys remember how to use this web system to log in, Systems Lab web to log in as if you are in our as if you are in Math 209. So now, of course, you can also connect in with SSH, and in fact, a lot of you have things like editors set up on your laptops to connect. That's all cool. But this is often, especially when you're testing out stuff with Pwn Tools, we have some stuff about using GDB in the debugger that tends to work best when you're doing it here on the web interface, where you get what we call the GUI, the graphical interface with all these windows. So let me sign in here. So keep in mind that you don't have to do everything this way, but often if in doubt, this is a good way to go. Okay, I don't think you're gonna see my password here. And it is pretty long. So if we go to Pwn Tools Attack Lab, download handout. So this is, I'm gonna save this to my 2467 directory. So this is the thing I just downloaded, Pwn Attack. So I'm actually gonna put this with my Attack Lab. So this is actually, this is an old Attack Lab from previous semester, but if I put this in my Attack Lab directory, I'm going to, it's gonna actually make this separate directory called Pwn Attack, and you have a few things. You have the PDF file write-up, which looks like this, which you've seen. You can also look at it in your browser in Autolab. I'll update this to make it extra explicit. You have to comment your code, even though you always have to do that. That just happened. I hate it when that happens. Stand by. I hit the wrong keystroke and closed my tab. Okay, we are back. So, but you're also gonna have this file called Pwn Templates. Oh, jeez. There we go. This is the template that you will work on to modify. Of course, you'll start by changing your name and the target number. So, what we want you to do is actually just make a copy of this and run it in the same directory as your target. So I have this target 8 directory. So now I have, and I'm just gonna call this, my program ending in .py. So I have my C target and R target in this directory called target 8, right? Because this is how we downloaded it weeks ago. Now, that means since I have target 8, I need to change target num to 8 here. This is going to, this is only really going to matter when you submit Autolab, because Autolab has to know which target to run against, especially because some of you may have downloaded more than one. So you may not notice right away, but if you don't have the correct target num when you submit to Autolab, it's not gonna work. And, I can put in student name here also. So this is the template you can work from. And this looks similar to what David showed y'all on Monday. We start with this import of the Pwn Tools library in Python. This is all using version 3 of Python. and we have this main function. So you don't have to do any other functions. We have main written for you here, a whole bunch of comments. This is what we updated last night. So we have some stuff about how to use GDB to debug this when you're trying stuff. Of course, since you've already done Attack Lab, hopefully you already basically know how to do these exploits. But this thing, P equals process, this opens a process running this program, C target, and uses P to represent that. So P.receiveLine reads the output from that. You need to, where it says to do exploit your exploit here, this is where you need to build up, you know, the stuff that's going into the buffer, the things that, you know, would have gone into your phase one when you solve this in Attack Lab. So you'll need to build up, you know, you'll fill up the buffer with a certain amount of data and then also put an address in the correct order. You're going to use the P64 function that I think David showed you on Monday. Please do reference the video of Monday's class where David gave you good examples. Same thing, question two, your exploit here. Again, we already have the part that opens the process for C target and then kills it when it's done. And this is actually just going to print for you the, that your exploit, you know, you called touch two or not. And here, you know, for phase two, you will have to do code injection. And we want you to use, there is an ASM function in Pwn Tools. So, you know, we can have, you know, you can have a whole bunch of characters here, but then you can also have, you know, you can do addresses, but we also have this ASM function where you can put in instructions. Right, David? I'm kind of making this up as I go, but this is how you would call it. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, of course, it's not a full instruction here, move, et cetera, but, you know, I guess ret would be an easy one. Of course, we you probably remember ret is the C3 byte, but for some of these multi-byte instructions, we're actually telling you, you need to use this ASM function to write your assembly code. It's another example of how Pwn Tools makes easier doing what you already did in Attack Lab. Should also make it more readable, but of course, you still do need to have comments explaining what these things are. The comment format in Python is using this pound symbol. This is the same as bash. So in some ways, this is more similar to the bash scripting thing that we looked at earlier this semester, at least kind of resembles that. And then the other thing, I don't remember if we went into this on Monday, but Python is strict about indenting the code. You notice there's no curly braces or anything here. This thing, you know, my code has to be indented the same. You know, I can't just put something here and something else here and something else here. This will result in an indent exception error in Python. You don't get to do that. Seems annoying at first. However, it does make it clear. I mean, if you were to have an if statement, which you don't need any if statements or really any conditionals at all here, but in Python, the, you know, body of that conditional would be here indented instead of having curly brace. Of course, you don't really need to do any of that here, but what that does mean is that keep your code indented the same so that everything is lined up vertically, and then you'll be fine. Let's see, anything else? You know, you'll submit this code to, I guess I'll save it. You can run it like this, and this is not going to work much. Aha, this is not going to happen when y'all do this. I have a broken version of Pwn Tools that I installed just for my user, so ignore that. So, like I said, that's what we have for you. You've got these options, and to do check out those videos as well. More cache labs will be coming up today. And we have a question via chat. I couldn't step through our target with GDB past the first call and get buff. The one that passes the overflow values onto the stack. Instead of moving forward, it just freezes in place. Only started on phase 4.
I think I can actually answer this. This all often happens if you don't deliver a payload with send line, or if you call like p.send line without any text in it. If you just send it new lines, it continues to hang. So I don't know for sure that that's what happened here.
That makes sense.
But that could be the case.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, git buff isn't going to make any progress until it reads some input. So, yeah, but that's a good point. Especially once you're running this through Python, you might not.
I actually tried a whole bunch of different things to try and get it to go through, but I couldn't get it to move forward at all. I tried reinstalling the whole thing, putting in the old values. I tried copying and pasting some things. I tried just getting it to overflow, period. I could not get that thing to go through.
Huh.
And well, also, if I just had it blank and I just used GDB and I tried to step through, shouldn't it still, like, fail? You know, it doesn't even fail. If I didn't put anything, you know, I just leave it default, like, how it is in a template.
Well, I think we'll need to do a screen share after class and just look at it then. Yeah. I mean, there's always some explanation. So yeah, we'll find it.
All right.
Anyway, well, hope you guys are excited to either learn some new programming skills or learn some new stuff from those talks. We're looking forward to seeing what you got, and I think that will wrap things up for today if you don't have any more general questions. And of course, we'll look at any specific problems you have. Continue to visit us on the Tuesday, Thursdays, and of course, we will meet again on Friday as we near the end of our semester. Hope everyone's well. It's good. You almost made it to the end. Hang there, and see you then.